everybody. This is Andy Marquette. I am joined by my unsick colleague, Joe Fell.
Yeah.
And we are Women in Words, where we talk about all the stuff that happened on the Women in Words blog and a whole bunch of other shit that is usually totally unrelated, but that's just how it shakes out. Joe, how are you feeling for real?
I feel so much better. Yes. I am good.
So what exactly does that mean, though? Are you workable? You can, like, go outside now, or what's the deal?
Listen, Andy, I think we can all just acknowledge that functional for me is a pretty big stretch from my normal reality. So I'm good for me. I'm doing good. Yeah.
Sweet.
I went out in public today. We went shopping at the Costco and bought a bunch of stuff in bulk, because that's how you roll when you have a house that's, you know, more like mm-hmm. the old lady in the shoe with like 7,000 mm-hmm. children. So, yeah, life is good.
Oh, it's so good. I'm so glad to hear, because we couldn't do the show.
I know.
We were,
I'm so sorry.
I also had a major damn headache, so we couldn't. We were just both kind of stupid. Couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I think you probably would have marshaled through, but I am such a goddamn wimp when it comes to being sick. I'm just... Yeah. Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm just...
So do you have any... Do you have a story for us or anything?
Well, yeah. Of course I have a story.
Okay.
So, I didn't tell you about the play that I took the kids to.
No, tell us.
Yeah, so I took... Noah and Michael and my friend's oldest daughter, Bryn, who's trying really hard to figure out if she's a lesbian or not. So mm-hmm. I've got two little trans boys and a probably lesbian.
So it's sort of it was just a giant queer fest.
Yeah, super gay. And I took them to see this play that a friend of mine was directing, and it's called She Kills Monsters, and it was all about this girl playing Dungeons and Dragons and being super gay and being a hero, and it was really, really good, and the production was great. It was in a very small theater, so it was very intimate, but it was amazing, and they all had such a good time because, you know, they mm-hmm. got to spend an evening being just super queer. It was great.
Yay!
Bryn is 16 and trying to decide if she likes boys or girls better. My advice to her was always go with boobs. If boobs are an option, pick boobs.
Oh my God.
But she thought that was very funny. Anyway, she's like, after the play was over, she's like, I swear to God, this is like the gayest thing I've ever seen or ever done. And I'm like, seriously, Bryn, you've been camping with me and Tara. That's gotta be the gayest thing you've ever seen. Not this. And she's like, no, as a production. So they had a really good time, and I got to listen to them like deconstruct it and talk about what they liked about it and rave about the different actors, and it was very, very cute to see that much happy gay love for, you know, these kids. It was cool. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of validation out of it. So it was great. It was a great time. And I was really, really happy that I was able to be a part of it. It was a clusterfuck, though, getting there, though, because we had to go. We live in Vancouver. We had to take Wyatt to Camas, which is 15, 20 minutes away. Then we had to go from Camas to Damascus, which is about an hour away. Then we had to go from Damascus to McMinnville, I think, which was
the hell?
Right.
All over the place.
Yeah, it was literally like, by the time we circled and got back home at the end of that day, I had been driving like I could have gone to Idaho. Like, I was driving at least 6 hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And, you know, for a...
Wow.
The play was, I think, maybe 90 minutes. It was awesome. I'm really glad we did it, but there was a lot of car time for very little entertainment, but it was still super cool to see these kids seeing this play. It was very, very cool.
Super awesome. I am pleased.
Me too. I felt like I was advancing the gay agenda. Still not sure what the gay agenda is, but if there is
one, you did your part.
Yeah, I think this qualifies. You know, I think this serves the greater gay cause.
I agree. I am all about this.
Yeah, it was fun. I love these kids. They make me happy.
I do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I have.
It just cracks me up because people are all, oh my God. You know, if kids find out about gay stuff, they'll become gay.
Yeah.
There's still plenty of straight people in the world who found out about gay stuff when they were in school and they're still straight. So mm-hmm. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. And
what exactly that means.
My mommy worked really hard to shelter me from the gay stuff. And I still turned out to be a super raging gay homosexual. So. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Oh my God. Did I tell you? This is so my mom, right? My cousin's girlfriend. So my cousin Dora, who you've met, her girlfriend at the time needed a ride to or from the airport, and everybody was busy except for my mom. My mom's just like, I don't want to. And I'm like, but mom, it's the right thing to do. And she ultimately did it. She's all like, but Sherry, those lesbians, just, they make me nervous. And I'm like, mom, I'm a lesbian. She goes, well, you don't make me nervous. It was like, oh my God, bless your heart. Oh yeah, that was in the 80s, maybe early 90s. But it was just like, seriously, right now? Seriously? Yeah. No, it had to have been in the 90s.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Anyway. That's my mom. Those lesbians, they make me nervous. Make me nervous too.
You know what? Me too.
Yeah.
I'm just nervous. Mm-hmm. I have the nervousness.
Oh, God bless them. I love those lesbians. They make me happy. God. Anyway, I'm done with my story. Now we can go. We can talk.
Okay, cool. Friends, lesbians make us nervous.
Yeah, it's true.
So anyway. Alrighty. So sort of a kind of a mellow week on the blog. So we can just, you know, wander off into the weeds anytime, Joe, you know, just let me know.
I don't ever need an invitation for that.
So anyway, y'all, let's do this. March 31st.
Wait, what about, oh shit, you're right. I was going back trying to find the last thing we blogged, but we missed a week. Damn.
Yes, fucked up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, March 31st.
Fucked up. Oh my God.
Damn. Okay, go.
Okay. All right. March 31st. Oh my, you see what happens, friends?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm a little okay. Punch drunk. March 31st. Sorry, listeners.
Author Jen Silver, yay! Oh, I love joined her. Us and she is giving away two ebooks. Just a reminder, friends. Check when you get those notifications in your inbox about blogs.
Yeah.
A lot of times the guest authors will be giving books away. Yeah. And it's so easy to sign up. All you have to do is dun, dun, dun. Are you ready? I know. Be ready. I know this is scary. Leave a comment on that blog.
That's boom, intense.
Done. You're signed up.
That is intense.
Right. So the point being, this is Jen Silver's latest deuce. She's giving away two ebook copies. And by the time you're listening to this, she will already have done that. But the point is that, you know, you have about 5 days, almost sometimes a week, to engage with these giveaways. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're all about free books. I mean, that's just like, it's kind of our thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is our thing, friends. So anyway,
it's true.
It's so true. Okay. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about Jen's book, and this was a cool blog because Jen was talking about choosing a point of view for the characters. And what's interesting about this book is that it appears she has two main characters, and she uses the first person for both. Is that something that you've done? I've seen books like that, but I haven't.
No, I definitely do not do that. But I have noticed that that trend in YA is really grabbing hold, especially YA that's like a little like dystopic. Yeah,
you're right.
But
right, so
it's, I object to it. I'm not a fan of that style, but I've been reading a lot of that lately.
I'm not a fan, so I'll just read more.
Hey, you know what? If a book is good, a book is good. You know, and I'm sure that Jen's book is good. So, you know.
Okay, give it a whirl. Yeah, give it a whirl. So Jen says that she had a dilemma introducing the POV of a character who's introduced in the prologue, but doesn't come into the story until the second part, about halfway through. She's been away for 23 years. She lost her memory. It's not a spoiler, friends. That's in the blurb. And she's been living on the Faroe Islands with a different name. Now, Faroe Islands, that's F-A-R-O-E. That's an archipelago between Norway and Iceland. Okay?
You just used an awful lot of words that I don't understand.
It's in the water between Iceland and Norway. These are where these islands are. So just so you can like now place yourself geographically in the setting of this particular book. Okay. And Jen says it wasn't until she started writing the POV in first person that she was able to really get inside this particular character's head. And this is the first time she's done an extended first person narrative. And she feels like it was kind of liberating. And then she explains how that happened and how she introduces that character, who she also writes first person, into the story. The other thing about Jen's work that is really super cool is that she tends to write older women, like in their 50s,
yes,
which is super cool because you don't get a whole lot of that in lesfic.
No.
No.
You don't. I always feel like I've done something really amazing if I write a character who's, you know, close to 40. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not that common.
No, it's not. You know what? It's not that common in a lot of genre work, mm-hmm, to see older characters. And I love it. I love seeing older characters, not just because I am an older character now.
Congratulations on your older character status.
Right? And so I like seeing that kind of representation in lesfic. And it's really interesting to me because a lot of older women do write lesbian fiction, like in, mm-hmm, their 40s and 50s. So why are we not writing our age range? I don't fucking know. But well, anyway.
I have thoughts on this.
Please provide thoughts.
Part of being able to carry a book through, you know, have a convincing plot and a convincing storyline, is that there has to be some sort of conflict. And I'm not terribly conflicted these days. Like, my 40s, the older I get, the more fuck it all I am. Like, I really just could give a shit. I don't have any internal conflicts. The closest I get to a conflict is when Tara gets grumpy with me about, you know, something that I didn't realize would make her grumpy, and then I fix it, and then we're done with conflicts. So, but in my 20s, I had massive angst about everything. Right?
So there you have it, friends.
Yeah. Well,
nobody writes older characters because they're just fucking fine.
Yeah. There's no, I really think this is why. But, and if you think about like some of the really, like the best story that I can think of off the top of my head about, you know, older lesbian characters is Cloudburst, right? Amazing story. But they reached a point where once again, there was conflict, mm-hmm, external conflict, but massive conflict that we can all relate to. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's my offering.
I like it. There's no fucking drama for older people, friends. And I'm lying.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure some people have drama, but I'm like, yeah, fuck that. I don't have the energy for that. You just, ain't nobody got time for that.
There is some trueness to that. And I think, you know, because you hit a certain, you hit that older character status and you're just like, why is everybody having all the drama?
Yeah.
Yeah. Be gone with that. I'm going to go over here and talk to my friends and chill.
Exactly.
because, you know, you start really, really appreciating the time that you have. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to expend it on stupid drama bullshit.
Also, if you are like me, you spent an enormous concerted amount of energy figuring out who you are. Like, I spent a lot of time as, you know, starting at like age 4 through, you know, I spent an enormous amount of time dedicated to who am I? Who do I want to be? How do I want to live? What kind of person am I? Like, I spent a lot of time on that stuff. I did a lot of work and I figured it out. I know who I am. I know who I want to be. I know what I'm like. I don't need to be questioning this shit anymore.
And who fucking has time to question that shit anymore? I mean, really?
All my drama comes from these children who I'm trying like all crazy fucked to parent, which is hard, by the way. It's not easy.
Parenting is really hard.
It is.
It's parenting hard. Done well, too, is super hard.
Yeah, but the standard is set fairly low, which is...
Yeah, we were kind of...
Yeah, we were.
So... Anyway, so Jen, thank you for writing older characters and finding drama for them. And her latest release is Deuce.
Deuce.
So definitely pick that one up. This one looks, I mean, Jen's just awesome and her work is good. So it's great. So just freaking buy her stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a great name for that's a great title for a book.
I agree.
I like it a lot.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So you can't go wrong with Jen's stuff. So seriously, pick that one up.
Yeah.
And remember to check to see if we're doing a giveaway, friends. I mean, win free books. What could, how awesome is that?
Right. Yeah.
All right. April 2nd. We didn't have anything for April Fool's Day. What is that about?
I don't know.
We just couldn't get our shit together.
I don't feel as though I'm qualified to say anything about anything right now. What was I doing on Monday?
You're probably still sick.
Oh, I don't even know, but it wasn't fun. I guarantee that. So.
Anyway. April 2nd, Anika Batson joined us and
yay.
This was such a good blog. It's called Get Good. And Anika's attitude is like, I'm a good writer. I practice. I work hard at it. And she had an incident in one of her classes where the professor used her particular project, her story, as an example of what really good writing is.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Right? And so, you know, she said, I'm not going to lie. It felt great to be praised, especially so publicly. I know how hard I worked on that piece and being told I did a good job made it feel like more than just a grade. After our discussion, the professor spent a portion of the next two classes going over details he thought were cinematic, my use of syntax, and doing a general analysis of what the piece is. I didn't feel weird about him using my piece as an example of what to do right until he said, I don't want anyone to feel jealous. This should be an inspiration. And then my gut twisted and I became very aware that everyone was dead silent in that moment. Even though I am in college, it felt like I was going to get my ass kicked as soon as we let out. No one kicked my ass after class, but now barely anyone talks to me, which I feel is an adult ass beating. When I talked about this to some of my friends, I was told that I was somehow wrong for allowing my piece to be praised in front of the whole class. They spoke about it as though it was an obscene show of me getting my ego stroked in front of everyone. And I was like, here's the thing. I don't know what other people do to improve their writing, so I can't speak to it. I only know what I do. For 10 years, I have taken steps to make sure I practice and improve. Why should I feel bad for it paying off?
I don't think you need to feel bad.
I agree. And then she says, this is a really interesting point. And quite frankly, I feel like if it was a dude who was praised in front of the class, this would have been fine.
Usually.
Uh-huh. Usually Anika is queer and black and female. So there you go.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there might be some coding going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, you just own the shit out of it. We support.
I know. She says, I understand that it might hurt to see someone doing well when you're trying your best. I've been there. I've been extremely salty about other people's accomplishments, and it didn't get me anywhere. At the same time, my apologizing isn't going to help anyone. No one is going to magically get better at writing because I said sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a little while agonizing about this and feeling awful, but in the wise words of a good friend, so what? We're in a class to learn. Everything takes practice. You're not a victim of someone else's success. Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone, Jack. If that makes me cocky, then be it. So be it. Right on. Preach.
I think, yes, I think she gets to own that.
You totally get to own that.
Mm-hmm.
Golly. Can you, I mean, these are freaking adult people in college getting mm-hmm. all pissy about somebody doing something really well and being, and it being shown as an example.
I think that Anika and I have very similar approaches to, well, living, because I have the exact same response. Yeah, fuck them. Just fuck them. It's not worth the whatever it is to be worried about somebody else's reaction to that. It's just not worth it.
I think it's also really important for women and queer women to own their skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
queer women of color, especially, holy shit, own it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we spend a lot of time like minimizing our accomplishments, and we shouldn't be. We should be standing up and owning it. You are absolutely right there, Andy Marquette.
And fuck.
Yeah.
I think that, you know what? Your classmates are douchebags, Anika.
Mm-hmm. For real.
For real. I mean, I would have been like, yeah, awesome. I'm so glad that you got recognized for all the work you put into this.
I think it's great.
Internally, I would have been like, God damn it. I need to fucking do better. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying that I wouldn't have felt envious, too. But mm-hmm. you can support people. You can support somebody and lift them up and, you know, encourage their good work without, you know, it doesn't mean you don't get to try and do good yourself. Somebody else doesn't have to lose in order for you to win. You can work hard and you can do good things too.
Exactly.
So there.
Exactly. It's true. It's like, I mean, your success will be your success. Just somebody else being successful is not going to take away anything out of your potential success basket.
Yeah.
Like, damn. I mean, use her writing as an example of what is really good and then put it into practice in your own writing.
Exactly. Do some learning.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. You and I, we've got this life thing sorted out. And
yeah, Anika, I know, right?
Anika, right? when we move to the island, when we form the commune, the whatever, you are invited. You can be a part of my world.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Yep, yeah.
All right. So own your shit, friends. And that means the stuff that you do that's good and the stuff that you fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all very quick. I think women especially are very, very quick to own what, you know, to take responsibility for things that they screw up and take responsibility for things that other people screw up. Like, we're perpetually wanting to take, you know, responsibility for other people's stuff. But take responsibility for the stuff you do right. Yeah.
Yeah, as well.
Yeah. God damn, you're smart, yeah. Andy Marquette.
Whatever. Oh, my God.
Okay.
No, I think Anika's the one here.
Oh, she's the smart too. One here. I am not cool enough to be hanging out with either of you. I know that.
Whatever. Stop.
Mm. It's a hard knock life.
Oh, God. All right, friends. April 4th. RG Emanuel joined us, and in her last blog, she talked about she's participating as a judge in this cookbook contest, and she has literally, y'all, like, she got, like, some, like, 40 or 50 cookbooks, Joe, that she had to, like, judge, and what that means in a cookbook contest, you don't just, like, look through it and go, oh, pretty, oh, that looks fine. No, you actually have to test some of the recipes
in each
cookbook. So, the contest organizers, like, provide, everybody like tests the same recipe. So it's not like you just randomly, they want like some control here. So they give you like a list of the recipes that they have, like some people test certain ones and then other people test other ones so that it's spread out over a bunch of different people. Okay. And so she was doing, and then they give you like some money, like a little bit of money to help with the supplies for cooking, for testing these recipes. So she's been doing this for the last like month and a half. I mean, this is an intense process. And then they're going to announce the finalists at a, like a little ceremony. I mean, like this is some serious shit. They don't wait until they like have the awards. They first announce the finalists at a soiree. Then they're going to do the awards at another soiree, apparently. So it's like, what? But anyway, she has like all of these beautiful cookbooks, and most of them are really beautiful. For those of you who are cookbook aficionados, you know, they're like these beautiful hardback, you know, books with like beautiful pictures in them. And I mean, these are some expensive motherfucking books. So she has all of these cookbooks, and I'm like, well, somebody's getting lucky at Christmas. Just find all your friends who want cookbooks, and there, you're done shopping. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what she was saying was, the recipes, everything's done. And so she told her brother that she was doing this process, and he said, oh, maybe this will help, meaning it'll get your foot in the door for a different job. She says, it won't. And I told him that. And he said, don't be negative. And she said, I'm just a realist. And she says, I'll look at the facts and come to a logical conclusion. A positive thinking person might look at the same facts and come to a different decision. For example, a realist will look at the numbers 2 and 2, and based on what everyone knows about math, will conclude that together they add up to 4. A positive thinker might look at the same numbers and say that if you have enough faith, they might add up to 6. A realist will walk into a fire-ravaged forest and accept that nothing will grow there for a while. A positive thinker might say, you never know, a unicorn could wander over and all sorts of magic will happen. But I know there are no such things as unicorns, and I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that 2 + 2 = 4. But here I am writing this blog while I have Lydia's Italian Table on the Food Network, and rather than focusing on whatever point I was going to make here, I find myself wandering. Not in body, but in mind. I'm suddenly not in my living room in Brooklyn, but in a cliffside restaurant on the gorgeous coast in Italy, asking the waitress in Italian what the vegetables are stuffed with. I am holding a glass of Trebbiano wine, feeling the warm Mediterranean breeze in my hair, and for a brief moment, I'm happy. I snap back to find Lydia talking about cheese making. I watch them make huge rolls of some sort of cheese, and I realize that there are people out there who live lives that are not spent at a desk all day entering mindless data on the computer or otherwise pushing paper around, and I realize that there are unicorns in the world wandering around somewhere. I just have to figure out how to catch one.
Yes, you do. Yep.
Bum, bum, bum!
I don't know if you saw that episode of Legends of Tomorrow, where the unicorn...
Oh, yes! God, of course I watched that show.
Yeah, and it ate Gary's nipple. I don't know that I want a unicorn. I'm just saying.
That was a certain kind of unicorn. That was the evil cannibalistic...
Whatever.
...unicorn.
I don't... Yeah, you know, that kind of I know that some snakes are harmless and some of them can kill you with a bite, but I don't want to play with any of them to try and find out which one they are. I'm saying, unicorns can be pretty at a distance. I don't need to play with them.
This is true, but unicorns do have magic.
Yeah, so there's that.
It would be cool to find a unicorn.
Yeah. I just don't want it to eat my nipple.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that was... If you're watching the latest... Oh, you can't because you don't get on network TV anyway. So that... Gary's nipple comes up again in the latest season.
Oh yeah, no, I just saw it. Yeah, he's he got his memory wiped, and he's all, "Where's my nipple?" Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny.
Fucking hilarious. Okay.
Yeah, Gary's a funny guy.
Anyway, okay, so yes, RG, there may be unicorns.
Well,
there just might.
If there is, I want RG to get one.
I do too. RG should definitely get a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
Just yeah. Saying.
Yep, she is unicorn worthy.
She is, yes. You're worthy! You're worthy of the unicorns!
Oh, that's funny. It's funny.
Oh my God. Anyway. Okay. April 5th. That's today, friends.
Mm-hmm.
And like a dumbass, I forgot it was the first Friday, which means I have to blog. Sorry, friends.
Whoops.
I said I blogged this one late. Whatever. Anyway, it's I'm going to Klexicon next week. I am flying to Vegas on the 10th. Everything starts on the 11th, but I'm flying in on the 10th to get everything set up. So it's just me. The crew had all kinds of other shit to do and all kinds of other obligations, and I get it. That's cool. So I am going to literally be everywhere at this convention. I told you a few of the things that I'll be doing. We have the Dirt Road Books vendor table, so come on by and say hi and chit chat. We'll have some books, some stickers, some candy. I'll give you candy if you come by. I'll also be moderating the Queer Lady Business panel, which brings Tello Films, Fangirl Shirts, and Reverie TV together. Again, this is like kind of a thing now at Klexicon, and I have moderated each year this particular panel, and we have a blast, and there's a lot of really great questions from the audience about, you know, queer ladies starting businesses and how it works and what each of us has learned in these different kinds of business milieus. So please come if you're at Klexicon and you would like to find out more about that. It's generally a really funny panel because all our panelists are hilarious.
I like funny people.
Yeah. I am participating on a panel discussing lesbian fiction publishing. That one's on Sunday though, and there may be some things up in the air because as of right now, one person for sure cannot make it, and another person may not be able to make it. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with that panel, but right now it's going on. Who knows? It may just end up being the Andy show, which is fine. Hey, we can do that. We can totally do the Andy show. I don't mind. Also, my colleague and co-host of the Les Geek Out podcast, Lise McTagg, who is also a fellow specfic writer, we are going to be doing a live Les Geek Out podcast panel. So, boom. Come on down and like participate in that. We'll be talking about all kinds of things. We're sort of hammering it out. We haven't quite gotten the outline. Lise likes to have more of an outline. Can you believe it, Joe? What the hell? She likes to have more of an outline. So, you know, I'll generally provide one and then we go from there. But also, I'm pretty good at guiding conversations. So we'll see how that one ends up. Then I ended up on a Klexa roundtable with one of the writers from the TV show, The 100. And we're going to be talking about Klexa, and this panel, I don't know. I'm kind of concerned that fans are going to like go crazy and it's going to turn into a giant scare fest.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really fucking brave author. Writer, right? Not author, writer. Yeah.
Not just any writer. One of the writers who wrote the episode.
Oh, fuck me. Really? I mean, they didn't pick the story, you know, the arc, but they...
Right?
Oh.
Right?
Oh, good fucking luck with that.
We'll see how it goes. This writer has been really supportive of fans in the aftermath. So, but still, I'm kind of worried about him. You know, I'm just like... I may end up actually moderating that panel too in a way that like, you know, kind of guides the conversation to less accusatory and that we can talk about the positive things that came out of that particular episode and, you know, how important Klexa is to so many people. And I'm hoping we can kind of guide it to fan fiction because everybody wants to talk about fan fiction. So I don't know. We're going to see how this goes. I'm a little like, but I agreed to participate because, you know, I'm a huge Klexa fan and also I have written huge Klexa fanfics. And so, I mean, I think it'll be interesting, but I don't know.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. I'm just going to keep saying wow.
Yeah. yeah, we'll see.
Did I say yeah?
I end up on these things like in really roundabout ways because at last year's Klexicon, I happened to meet in person one of the people who's involved in pushing this other project, you know, I don't know if you've seen it on the Twitters, but there's a movement in the Clexa fandom to create a whole nother, a show called The Grounders, and it would deal specifically with Lex's past and how she became commander. And so there's been like this movement, and there's been a lot of really cool trailers that fans have put together exemplifying what it could be, and there's like a project afoot to write the scripts and stuff. I mean, it's like a really interesting project, and sure, is there a chance of it getting picked up? Probably not. We can always, you know, the unicorn, right? There could possibly be a unicorn, but I, you know, getting people like Alicia Debnam Carey to participate, I don't know. You know what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be really super amazing and awesome, because I think that a lot of people were really interested in the culture of the Grounders more so than the plot arcs of the show itself. And doing something that focused on that element would be, I think, amazing. So that's how I sort of ended up on this panel, was I had met the person doing the Grounders project, which I fully support. If we can possibly get anybody else to help out with that, it'd be great. You know, they are on Twitter. You can find them. Lexa Deserve Better project, and also the Grounders project. So just, you know, have a look at that, find them, and throw your support behind it, because I think it would be really, really cool. And it's also cool to get, to have like queer fans invested in creating content. So I think in that regard too, it's really important. So anyway, because I write this giant ass canon divergent fanfic that basically rewrote season 3, I kind of ended up just kind of talking to some of these folks involved in this project. And I met one of them in person last year at Clexicon. And so we've stayed in touch. And then she asked me if I would be on this panel, and I'm like, oh, sure. And then later I was like, oh, fuck, maybe that wasn't such a good idea, because it sounds like it could devolve into something really fucked up.
I think it'll be fun.
I hope it doesn't, though. I don't want stuff like this, because people still, 3 years later, still are really raw after what happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kudos to this writer, right, for stepping up and being willing to do this. I mean,
yeah,
you go. And hopefully there will be like some positive things that come out of this, and maybe some really interesting projects. Maybe this writer would be willing to work on a project with somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that could be really cool. I don't know. I mean, the dude's a good writer and has a good sense of things. So we'll see. I just don't know what it's going to take and how the energy is going to be. And so I'm like, oh, shit, this could be a really good thing or a really bad thing.
I think it's going to be a really good thing.
So
good luck to y'all.
I know, right? The other thing is that I'm doing is Golden GCLS. Job is going to have a vendor table at or an info table at Clexicon this year, and I had a long conversation with one of their folks who's doing it, and so I'll be spending some time at their table doing some volunteering and hanging out. So I'm literally going to be everywhere.
I think you're going to clone yourself. You're going to have some mad, crazy science going on.
So much crazy. It's like there's so many other things to be doing, because Clexicon, like any other fan convention, also has a lot of really cool panels and workshops that deal with representation in media. This is the largest, currently the largest. I'm assuming there will be others that will launch. The largest LGBTQ and women, LGBTQ women and allies. So it's specific to queer women and allies. And right now it's the only one, or no, it's the largest of that one. There are other that emphasize queer women, I think. Aren't there?
Oh.
Geek girls. Yes, there are. But this is right now the largest. And last year there were 4,500 people. This year I expect there will be 6,000.
Wow.
Possibly more. So there's going to be an ass ton of people. There's always like gaming. There's hanging out with your friends. There's really cool vendor areas. And then you get to meet people that in real life that you haven't met in person. And that's really fun. And this year, I think they're still doing an academic track, which has like academic discussions about the role of media in culture and representation. So I think it's just, I mean, I, as far as fan cons go, this one has a lot of really cool stuff that they talk about. Workshops, like writing workshops, screenwriting workshops, stuff like that. So it's not just going to the big events and looking at your favorite stars and stuff. It's like actually learning things and networking. So there's a lot that goes on at a con like this. Also, Renee Best left a comment. We love Renee, who's also a Women in Wordster. Nafisa Williams, who plays Anissa Williams, Nafisa Williams, who plays Thunder in Black Lightning, was a former student of Renee's in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That's super cool.
So,
I mean, I already knew that, you know, Renee was cooler than everybody else.
Everybody just confirms. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, how fucking cool is that?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yay! It's going to be awesome. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be crazy. But, hey, whatever.
Yeah.
It's going to be really insane. I'm like, oh, shit, I should probably get some sleep this weekend and prepare myself for the insanity that is going to be this particular con. Especially since it's just going to be me running around. But it's okay. It's going to be great. And Lise is going to help me out. And probably there will be some other folks to stop by and help me out. So, yay!
Yay! That's it.
I wish you guys could come this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a while. I mean, we're doing some stuff, you know, close to home. And Tara's mom's doing pretty damn good for...
Oh, good. Good, good.
For, you know... things as they are, but I'm still not gonna even think about committing to something that's that far away. It's just not, it's not a good idea. And, you know, we're going on vacation this summer. We're gonna go up to Northern Washington, like right on the Canadian border, and that's a few hours, but at least it's, you know, it's something that I can drive in a day to get back. And, you know, I just, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have I said no enough times? I think I've made that part clear. But anyway, at some point, I hope I get to go, because I'd like to hang out with the lesbians.
Yeah. Oh my God. The queer ladies everywhere. It's like, it's a really, really safe and welcoming space too. And I think that's so important, especially in this day and age, that people feel like safe in that kind of environment to like be fangirls and to just be themselves. So if anybody, dear listener, if you ever get a chance, please try to at some point attend a Klexicon, because seriously, I mean, it's really a great space and it's eye opening and you will make all kinds of cool connections, especially young people who are interested in maybe writing, doing screenwriting. I can't tell you how many young queer women who have attended this event and are fangirls of like Wynonna Earp have been encouraged and inspired to become screenwriters and to create content that represents us. It's that kind of place. So
nice.
If you can, go and bring your young queer folk with you.
Yeah, I take mine wherever I go.
I mean, it's so important, right?
And my young queer folk, they come with me wherever I go.
Bring your young queer folk along.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. Anyway. All right, I'm wrapping up.
All right.
We're done.
Done. Woo!
I got this whole family thing. I got to go fix dinner for them. So it's a thing. Anyway, dear listener, this has been the Week in Review for Women in Words. I am Jove Bell, here today with Andy Marquette. We are both feeling good, which is why you're hearing our voices. Yay! You can catch us online at womenwords.org. And please like, subscribe.